Consider outer space. You know, from the time of the first NASA mission, it became evident that being in space has a profound effect on the human psyche. You know, during the first Gemini mission, some thought was actually given to the notion of sending up a man and a woman together.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A cosmic Adam and Eve, if you will, bound together in a highly sophisticated nerve center at the head of the largest, most powerful rocket yet known, its giant thrusters blasting into the dark void as they hurtled towards their final destination, the gushing wellspring of life itself. How would you like to have a sexual encounter so intense it could conceivably change your political views?
Would you like to dance?
Yes, please.
I'll take that as a no.
Hello, all my friends, to the show that never ends. And the life we lead continues to push on. We've all had a rotten day. So what's Juskow gonna say? He hopes to take a moment of your time to make you feel much better when you hear about his day. A little magic power makes your problems seem okay. If you're looking for action and nothing that's new, Juskow in the City is the podcast for you. If you like listening to things that no one else would do, Juskow in the City is the podcast for you. Hello, hello. Hello, don't know why I say goodbye. I say hello, everybody, and welcome to Juskow in the City. Last podcast of March 2024, as we move quickly into April. I talk about it all the time. It happens. It's a beautiful day in New York City, but it is cold. It is cold out there. Get your booties on. Wait, isn't that, am I doing Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day! But it's a beautiful sunny day, but it's 30 degrees. And remember last time, I think I said it was 70 degrees. So I don't know. What's the difference? I love giving you the weather report. How you doing this week, March 26th, 2024? Great to see everybody. It's almost Easter. And the beauty about my job working Saturdays and Sundays, I actually have off for Easter Sunday. Can you believe it? Don't you love it? I told them I'm half Jewish. And they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, you're not allowed to say that. No, we can just tell. Look at you. You are not half Jewish. I'm like, you know what? I have a good mind to take this to a higher authority. Why, you little... is beautiful. That's next weekend. Anywho, I just came from the coffee shop, girl, and the girl in the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- I'm heading out. I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts, right? My usual thing. I even called my neighbor. I'm like, listen, I'm making a Dunkin' Donuts run, sweetie. So I get downstairs. So when I'm downstairs, as creepy as this gets, I'm always just staring at the coffee shop. I'm like, who's working? Who's working? Can I actually see that far away? And it looked like the girl that I liked there that works, Nadia. And, you know, I like a lot of the girls there. And I'm like, oh, I'll go over there instead and get an $11 cup of coffee because my friend is working. But it wasn't her. It's just a girl. It's another cute girl. Now, I went in there on Tuesday night before the Cellar show, and there was some guy working there, and I walked right the fuck out. I said, is Nadia here or something? And he's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, bye. And the guy was like a dick, and he sucked. And I told you, it's just like, it's not, he wasn't even friendly. I mean, it's not even the point that it's a guy. Like I said, even if it was a nice guy, I don't care. But this time it was another in a series of really cute girls. It really seems like this place gets it, except once in a while when they just have the worst part. The guy couldn't care. I came in, he was taking his time getting to the count. He was like, he was a complete dick. And I am not spending $11 on a cup of coffee for some douchebag. So I can go anywhere else in the neighborhood, let alone, as I did, go to the deli across the street and just get coffee for a dollar. So this girl's in there. She was adorable. It's her first time working there. And, of course, she's adorable. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to let, because I was about to walk out. Because I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm like, well, what do you recommend? They like when you ask a recommendation, and she made me this thing. I can't even, I'm taking a sip of it now. It's incredible. I don't know what the fuck. She goes, well, I am Mexican, so I can recommend, and I don't know what the accent I'm doing, of course. I'm all over the place with that. She's like, oh, it's got rice infused. I'm like, what kind? No. But I'm like, all right, whatever you say. And then I took a sip of it, and I'm like, you know what? That is an $11 cup of coffee. It was really delicious. It's right out of Pulp Fiction. You know, that's a good fucking shake. That's a five. Let me have that. I want to see what a $5 shake costs. Like $5. That was 30 years ago. Now it would be $11 shake and probably more. I think at the diner I went to yesterday, the shake might be $22. And wait till I tell you some of the pricing that goes on this week on this podcast. It ain't pretty.
Okay, where's Sam?
Where's my briefcase?
Sam!
Love me, Brenda.
Hey, pause defect!
You missed breakfast again.
Wasn't my idea to give her own phone line. I don't have my own phone line.
Mike,
grab a donut.
It's small, it's brown, it's made of leather. It has my initials on it. I believe that's it.
Don't forget, the grandparents are coming this afternoon.
Are we still having dinner with the rice checks?
Riz checks. 8 o'clock at the club. Oh, and you better learn their names. As of tomorrow, they're family.
That's a lovely thought. When it comes your turn to get married, do me a favor. Elope.
Who married her?
Mr. T.
Oh, I'm sorry. You'll have to buy lunch today. I didn't have time to fix your carrots.
Yeah, well, she's only eating carrots to increase the size of her breasts.
Mister, you had better shape up or you will miss your sister's wedding.
Promise?
Now, don't give me that pouty look of yours. You can eat your carrots when you get home.
That's it? You don't have anything else to say to me today?
What would you like me to say, Sam? Come on now, honey. You're going to miss the bus. Have a good day.
I can't believe this. They fucking forgot my birthday.
I'll start today with just telling you as I left you, because I'm pretty sure I didn't mention this. So I left you on Friday, right? And Friday was my sister's birthday, which I kind of forgot. And she's like, would you forget my birthday? I'm like, I've tried calling you twice today, so I could have gotten out of it because I did try. She's like, you did? And then she saw I did. But I actually did because I knew I was going to see her the next day and I had a gift for her. So I wasn't that worried about not talking to her the day of, but still uncool. Meanwhile, it turns out our mother completely forgot her birthday. And we can't stop thinking about it. Remember, Beth is pretty much the one putting her stupid 90th birthday party together that's just pissing us off because she's such an asshole. And this just tops it off, all the stuff I've been saying about her. I mean, she really is just not cool. And to miss your daughter's birthday, and here's how it went, and this is why, and I know some of you are saying, like, oh, she's old. No, because this is what happened. Beth calls up. It's right out of 16 Candles. Isn't there something you want to say to me? She goes, you know, Rhoda, you forgot my birthday. And she goes, I know. That's it. That was the end. We were just talking about it like an hour ago because we're planning that stupid party for her. And, you know, I'm like, Beth, I don't even know why you're planning this party. I mean, that's one of the worst, and I want to use the worst language there. You can see I paused. One of the most horrible things I've ever heard in a sense of missing a daughter's birthday that of someone that we wasn't a horrible mother or anything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. She had the opportunity at that moment, whether she's old or whatever the fuck age she is, to say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, you know, I'm having a day, right? So she could play the old card, but she chose to say nothing. And then she's like, well, you always get a card on your birthday. In fact, I'm the one that gets it, and then I have to put money in it saying it's from her. And I'm like, well, Beth, you're not going to win that. I'm the firstborn to a Jewish mother. I mean, yeah, I'm always, no matter what I do, I'm going to be great. So that's just stupid. If don't get jealous at that. That's an instant classic. I mean, just watch The Big Bang Theory for that. I mean, just anything. I mean, come on. Now she's acting crazy. I mean, this is just what it is. You're Jew. You're the firstborn. You're gold forever. You can do no wrong. I could commit murder. My mother, no, he's a good boy. So, yeah. But this, I just don't understand. Beth is not only throwing the party for her, she took her clothes shopping the other day. She knew she was taking her clothes shopping. I just don't understand how you say, I know, and saying in a bitchy tone, not apologizing, no card. It just doesn't add up, and we cannot wrap our fingers around it, and that's what's killing me. Because why is she so angry at Beth, who's throwing her this party? And maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe she's mad because she keeps getting mad at her for... I mean, Beth is scary, and if you say something wrong, she does bite your head off in a really scary fashion. It happened to me this week because I know... Matt, you know, my brother-in-law, does not want to go to Rhoda's party. So I go, well, at least Matt doesn't. She goes, Matt's coming. Why wouldn't Matt come? Of course Matt's coming. It's the same thing when she's so stupid. She thinks she knows everything, but it's the same thing when she has an old boyfriend come over. And I know Matt, he's one of those guys. I've told you this before. He's like Jimmy Kimmel. He's one of those guys. He doesn't want to be around old boyfriends. And Beth is like Sarah, where she loves being friends with her old relationship. She loves it. She can't get enough of it. And Matt isn't a guy that likes it or wants it to happen. And Jimmy Kimmel was like that too. And there's just guys like that. But she's like, please, please. He's fine with it. She's inviting these old guys she slept with for Passover or something, and he's like, he's fine with it. But I know he's not. I know he's not. He doesn't say it. I know him. I know guys like him. She's insane. So when she says stuff like that, I'm like, she doesn't even know what she's talking about, but I got to let it go because she's insane. She's insane. But still not insane enough to have her mother say, yeah, I forgot your birthday. So what? What do you want, a medal? It just doesn't add up. I mean, this makes our mother everything we thought about her for all that time where, you know, you guys are like, boy, he's really mean to his mother, really doesn't like his mother, but he goes to see her every week because that's what everybody does, right? I mean, you hate your parents. I hate my father. I hate my mother. What are you going to do, right? This is what you do. Well, it's my mother, you know? So it's, oh, I hate it. She's going to live forever. It's a nightmare. But it's just so rude what she did. And as Beth is planning this party, she took her to this venue. Maybe we'll have it at the venue. And then now we're back having it at the place again. And she's like, oh, I don't like those rooms. And I don't want to invite the people from here. And we're like, you know what? Screw you. You're having it here. And good luck to you. Because remember, she was inviting Bucky and all that stuff. It's really frustrating because I've never heard of such a thing except in the movies. And if you remember 16 Candles, when Sam's mother found out that she missed the birthday, she was in tears. She felt horrible. My mother's never called to apologize, never said anything. It's just really messed up. And we just don't. And we don't care. I mean, we're not 10, so it's not that big a deal. It's just a mother missing a daughter's birthday. It's not like we have six kids. You know, it's just the two of us. But we all forget Beth. It's like the same thing that happened when my dad died. She called me that morning, and she goes, Daddy died. And I'm like, oh. And she goes, well, you know, can you believe he died today? And I'm like, why? What's today? She's like, it's my birthday. And then I just started dying laughing because it was epic that he died on her birthday. So it's like everybody's been trying to fuck her. Literally and figuratively. Nobody remembers her birthday. It's a thing. I don't know. That's why maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe the fact that her husband died on her birthday. But I'm pretty sure Rhoda doesn't even give a crap about Elliot. So she never, ever talks about him. Never, ever says, when your father was alive. It's never like that. She never mentions him, never mentions him. Nobody ever brings him up. So it can't be that, but at least that would make sense. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be reminded of this day because that's when I lost your father. But she never talks like that, ever. So it's weird. Maybe there's something we just don't know. But it's just frustrating, especially since, you know, we're planning this party and Beth is really doing all kind of the work. I mean, I put the work together when it's at the home, but she took her to this spot. My friend Mitch said might be good where around my mother lives because she wanted to invite dinner. I don't even know. But Beth took her to these places. She took her out. I just like staying in. She'll sometimes, and she took her clothes shopping. And even while they were clothes shopping and Beth's buying her new clothes, she didn't even say, you know, Beth, I'm sorry I forgot your birthday. It's unbelievable.
Look, how are you, my little lamb chop?
Fine, Grandpa.
Fine.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're pretty good. Of course, I get the lower back pain every
once in a while. Oh, my corns are killing me, and I still have those headaches, but I'm not the ice bag.
You're sleeping up here?
Yeah, your grandfather Fred jumped our claim on Sarah's room, so here we are. I've got to sleep up here.
Well, I haven't seen you guys in a while. Do I look any older today?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say so. Do you think so, darling?
No. Oh, I hope it isn't cold tomorrow. You know Jenny.
Oh,
she'll refuse to wear a hat and coat
sake.
Over her wedding dress.
Well, if she does, you mustn't bug her. Because
well, I'm not going to bug her.
No, I'm going to go set myself up in Mike's room, so I'll see you guys later.
Okay, sweetheart.
Oh, look, there she goes.
Grandpa and I are looking forward to a nice, long, long visit with you.
Aces.
We certainly are. We're looking forward. Oh, see you a little later, darling. We've got a lot to do.
I swear to God, this has got to be a joke. Grandparents forgetting a birthday? They live for that shit.
With my arms around you. Well, well, if it isn't Sammy Baker Davis Jr.
Hi, Grandpa.
Oh, I've got one for you. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who?
Who?
Helen, we've got an owl out here in the hall.
Anywho, Beth and Dory came over my house on Saturday because they were running that stupid New York City half marathon, which is equally as stupid as the regular marathon. It's an official New York City half marathon. It's not the marathon. It's the half marathon 6 months before the regular marathon, right? It's just, you know, just so it goes from Brooklyn to Central Park. So they're like, my sister's like, I'm going to sleep at your house. And that because then I can leave my stuff here and it'll be great. She comes in Saturday right after work and her and Dory come here. And we say, you know what? I can make us a reservation at the Isle of Capri. Like, I would love that. And we went there and I saw the owner again and we talked and she's very delightful. And we're sitting there and I didn't have the same waiter, but I had this other guy that always refuses to give me cheese. I know what you're saying. Why do you keep going there? It's like, why do you keep going to your mother's if she's the worst person? But what can we do, right? We're all in that situation. So I get the chicken parm. My niece gets the chicken parm. Beth and my niece shared the chicken parm and a rigatoni, I think. And Beth sees the cheese go by. Now, I know they're not going to bring me cheese. And so I've just stopped bothering with it. But the rigatoni deserves cheese. And the guy walks right by our table with the cheese. My sister says, before I even said anything, why won't they bring us cheese? And I'm like, oh, forget that. You're never going to get any cheese here. They're like, why? I don't know. They don't like giving. It's my fault. And I apologize you came in with me. They won't give me cheese. I assume it has something to do with the first time I was here where I ordered them and made them get more because I like the gag. That's the only thing I can think of. Because, all right, I can see where they're angry for some God knows reason that they don't want to give me cheese on the chicken parm. But the rigatoni deserves, like, would you like some cheese on that? And the guy never came over with the cheese. I can't complain about it anymore because I continue to go there. But now that's hilarious. And the fact that my sister was like, why wouldn't they bring us cheese? I'm like, oh, well, let me catch you up. It was awesome. I'm so glad it happened. I was like really happy about it. And then we ordered decaf cappuccinos. I was so excited. My sister actually wanted one. And she insists, and she might be right, that it was not decaf because she was up all night. And remember, she had to run 13 miles in a few hours. So she came over and Dory came over too, right? No, just me and my sister came home. Right, we dropped Dory off at the subway. She went home. And I bought my sister, for her birthday, Shrinky Dinks. Do you remember Shrinky Dinks?
Where does Peter get littler, taller, get smaller as you make your favorite thing? Hour after hour, where else but in the magical world of Shrinky Dinks? If you can trace and color and cut, you've got what it takes. Then a little bit of baking makes it shrink like magic right before your eyes.
Wow!
Bigger gets littler, taller gets smaller as you make your favorite thing. Hour after hour, welcome to the magical world of Shrinky Dinks.
Your platform's fun.
You color them, you put them in the toaster, you watch them shrink, they get hard. And I thought that would be fun. I was trying to get the Disney ones, and I ordered them. I couldn't find them. Then I found them at Walmart, and they were going to be here just in time, and then they sent me the wrong one. And I'm like, you people suck, because like even right now I'm in the chat room trying to return it. It has the picture of the one I wanted, which you did not send me. But they rectified that by sending my money back, but they didn't send me the Disney thing. Meanwhile, I was talking to Marcy, whose daughter apparently works at Michael's. I'm like, hey, listen, see if you can find that. And I was totally kidding. And yesterday, her daughter sent me the bill. Hey, I bought one for you. I'm like, what? It was that simple? They really did have it there with the Disney characters? So my sister and I are very excited, because that's at least a stenciling one, because we were drawing freehand. So, right, I'll take a picture of the bonus show for you. I can't draw at all. I took an intro to drawing class in college. I mean, the guy was kind to me. Because he got to understand, some people have no skill. I definitely have that drawing pad at home. I had it for such a long time. I think my dad threw it away, of my sketches of nude women and stuff that we were drawing. And I mean, it's hilarious because I have no talent. No talent whatsoever. I can't doodle, nothing when it comes to that. So I'm just trying to look for a stencil, but they gave us not clear sheets, like white sheets. I mean, everything about the Shrinky Dink package was awful. But my sister and Dory, they could trace and color. Well, not trace, but they could follow. I don't know. They did really great. So I was looking to color. I had this box of a Clueless game. So I was looking to make the picture of the Clueless girls on the cover, like Ty, Dee, and Cher. So when I show you, I didn't Shrinky Dink it. I saved it. I will take a picture of it. I will show you on the bonus show. And if you don't laugh at that, then you're dead inside, because it is hilarious. Anywho, we had some fun making that. I actually, my friend Liz Mealy, who's a comedian I've had on the YouTube show a couple times, wrote a book, Why Cats Are Assholes. And I took her book on her cat, and I was able to trace that. I could see it through the white, and I made it, and I sent it to her. And I have video of that one. So I will also show you that on the bonus show. I'd forgotten about that. Then she goes to sleep because she's got to run in the morning. And I stay and watch TV. And I think I fell asleep immediately, like a half hour later. Or like for an hour, just watching TV. And then I was wide awake until 6 in the morning. And then she woke up at 3 and said, I think that was fucking caffeinated coffee, those pricks. I'm like, don't be mad about that. Just be mad about the cheese and redirect your anger towards the cheese. But she was really upset because she could not sleep. But I mean, she never has trouble sleeping, I think. I don't know. But it's like, I wouldn't be able to sleep if I knew I had to go to Brooklyn, wake up really early, go to Brooklyn, run 13 miles. I don't know. So she got up and we just watched TV for while we were watching the Are You There, Got It's Me, Margaret, which was fun. Having somebody to watch TV with at 3 in the morning was really actually great. And then Attell called, and she's like, who's calling you now? I'm like, it's Attell. And it was really funny. She goes, well, now I'm going to go to bed. I guess it's soothing when somebody's talking on the phone and you're sleeping. That's the one thing I miss about actually living with people. I liked when I heard people talking on the phone and there's activity about. So, yeah, Attell called, and it was really funny. It was 3 a.m., and he said the funniest. I told him that Jeff Ross was in, you know, Dave's, by the way, today, when this show airs, I believe Dave Attell's Netflix special comes out. I'm sure it's going to be great. I can't wait. I just asked him to come on the April 2nd of the YouTube show. So we're going to see if he can make it to promote his special. He's been doing all these different podcasts to promote the special. So now's the time to ask. So I took a chance just in case. And even though it'll be horrible because he's so mean. But I told him that Jeff Ross was in Germany with Andrew Jarecki. They were just going, he was going, like the way I went to Ireland for Jeff was following Andrew for some sort of family thing he was doing in Germany, and they went to visit the concentration camps. He goes, so Jeff's performing Take a Banana for the Road in the concentration camps? I'm like, no! But he knew. It's just like, you know, I don't think bananas are very fruitful over there. It was really funny. It's like, so Jeff's performing at Dachau. What is it? It was really funny. So that's always a hilarious call to get at 3 in the morning. And it's why, again, we've talked about why I've always wanted a friend like that, because it's hilarious. And then, I don't know, maybe I slept for another hour. My sister's alarm went off at 6:15, and I walked her to Dunkin' Donuts, and we got coffee. I walked her to the train, and she said that train was packed with people going to the marathon, just the way it was when I dropped Dory off at the Staten Island Ferry that day. She said that when that train let out, wherever they were in Brooklyn, they could barely get on the platform. It was so crowded. Like, if dangerous, the train was going to leave and people could fall off the platform. That's how packed of stupid people that want to run that early in the morning. What a bunch of dicks. God, don't you hate that? People trying to be healthy and shit. Although, I don't think it's healthy running 13 or 26 miles. How can that be healthy? You know what's healthy? Running a mile. That could be healthy. What do you need to run 13 miles for? What are you doing? That's stupid. Anybody that wants to do that's an idiot. Thank you. So then they came back. My sister, for some reason, ordered from Magnolia Bakery, but she should have let me do it, and she did it, and the guy dropped it off at the wrong apartment. It was such a disaster, so I had to go downstairs and see what was happening, and something happened where I had to go out, and I ran into my neighbor, you know, the one that sent the note the other day, and she looked incredible. Like, I didn't recognize her. She's like, hey, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, oh my God, this really pretty girl's talking to me. I'm like, I didn't know it was you. Last time I saw you, you had a cap on. And she's like, yeah, I'm usually in my sweats and pajamas. She dressed up for brunch. She went out with her friends and like, oh, we like to dress up. And, you know, like, really, she was in Sex and the City. And so she looked incredible. And I said, well, come over. Because she was asking about window screens. So I said, oh, I know all about those because I used to open my windows without screens in them for years. And just nothing but moths. I had to get exterminated. It was horrible. And so I said, come in. And my sister and my niece are here. So, you know, then it's not creepy. And my sister is yelling at the guy on the phone while we're trying to have a conversation. It was so funny. And I'm like, yeah, that's my sister. She's a little nuts. She's like, no, you fucking idiot. It was really a funny introduction. So I took her up. But I'm glad they were here because the place was a mess. And I was glad that, it's messy because, you know, I had them stay over and that's what the reason is. And so it's funny. So remember, I was working too when all this was happening. I was working. And then after work, like at 4 o'clock, I went to bed. I'm like, I need to actually go to bed because I'm going to get sick because I'd been up all night. And so I went to bed, but of course I only slept for 3.5 hours, and then I woke up at 7:30, and I'm like, well, now what do I do? Because I'm going to be up all night. And I watched the movie Starman from 1984 with Jeff Bridges and Karen Allen and Charlie Martin Smith, and I'd always never seen it. It was John Carpenter directed. He was trying to go a different direction instead of the horror movies. And, you know, I was teaching in class. I mentioned it, and I said, I never, you know, in all these movies I've never seen, I'm trying to watch. So I saw this movie, and it's not very good, but it's not bad either. And when it came out, people were pretty much saying that. But remember, or maybe you don't remember, but Jeff Bridges got nominated for an Oscar for it. So I'm like, well, let me check this out. And his performance was truly great, just great for no reason. I mean, it's just playing an alien. And probably if you did that today, people would laugh at it. But it was still very good because he's good and he's an Oscar winner. And Karen Allen, cute as a button. And it's pretty much the reason why they said it didn't do good is because it is pretty much E.T., but for adults. It's an alien who comes to town and takes a shape of her ex-husband or her dead husband. And it's a road movie, you know, cross-country road movie. And, of course, they're being chased by the government. And it's the same thing you've seen 100 times. But back then, you only seen once. So I guess if it's not done by Steven Spielberg, nobody gives a shit. You're not talking Close Encounters. You're not talking E.T. You're talking John Carpenter. I guess the guy that does Halloween they're going to be like, I don't know, is this E.T. guy going to be scary? Because there's definitely parts of it where he's holding a gun where you're like, this is weird. But I didn't hate it. It was easy to watch. And as I said, from every movie in the 80s, except the one I saw finished watching today, everything's an hour and a half. But the one I watched today, I finished Once Upon a Time in America. I finally finished Gabriel. Gabriel was telling me some stuff about it. This four-hour event, maybe a little over 4 hours, Sergio Leone's last movie, Robert De Niro, James Woods, Tuesday Weld, and the really poor actress, what is her name? I think she's Downton Abbey. She stinks. Elizabeth McGovern, is that who it is? I don't know. She's a really bad actress, and it's kind of funny. Towards the end, she is an actress in the play, and he goes, well, now you're a horrible actress, so it's kind of funny that they even commented, but that's for another reason. Anyway, so now I've seen the entire Once Upon a Time in America, which is a legendary movie in the sense of its greatness, that people compare it to one of the greatest movies of all time, because, and the thing about it is, it kind of reminds me, I know this sounds ridiculous, but it's very much like Poor Things, in the sense of its artistry, in the sense that it's not, it's hard, you know, this isn't Goodfellas, this isn't The Godfather, it's not an in-your-face, this is a mafia movie. This has artistry, European to it, you gotta go with it, and the ending's not explained, one of those kind of things. You gotta think for yourself. And you got to really go with the movie. And that's why when it first came out, they're like, you got to cut it down. 4 hours is ridiculous. They cut it down to 2.5 hours. It bombed because it was stupid. And what I've heard, and my friend Lawrence and I were talking about it today, it's just, you know, when you take out all the aestheticness to it, it's a stupid movie. So then when they widened it out and the critics saw it, they're like, this movie's brilliant. And it really is good. And when you're watching it, you're like, boy, this is really interesting. I've never really seen anything like it, in the way it weaves back and forth like Godfather 2, but in a completely different way. It is quite fascinating. The music's interesting, and the performances are really good, besides this the woman. But so I finally finished that today. I'm glad I did. There was an intermission, and I stopped at that point, and I guess there was another 2 hours left or so, maybe an hour and a half. And it's just crazy that I never saw this movie, and it is definitely heralded as one of the greatest movies of all time, and probably a force in a must-see movie making if you're teaching a class in movie making. You know, you have your Godfather, which we know is, especially Godfather 2, if you're taking a course on movie making, you'd probably want to see Godfather 2. It's hard to intertwine stories like that. I would show, if I was teaching a course on movie making, which I'm certainly close to doing, but I shouldn't be teaching a course because I only made one movie. And, you know, again, if you read the reviews, it's not very good. So I would show Love Actually, not for its direction or any of that, but how you can piece a story together coherently that way, which is a really good storytelling. And I don't know who that comes. Maybe it's just about editing. This, I've talked about this before. Gary Marshall sucks. He made those two movies with all these celebrities and all these different stories called Valentine's Day and New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, and they stink. They're unwatchable films. And Love Actually, whether you like it or not, with now the way we look at the world, the way it combines and how the characters combine, it's so fantastic that is one of the movies I would show. I think I would definitely show Crimes and Misdemeanors. I'm actually thinking about showing that the last day in class, but I don't know. So yesterday, remember I told you I made up for giving the lecture an hour before spring break like an idiot. So I told the class, listen, I messed up. This is my first time teaching a 3-credit course. So let's watch a movie today, because that's what I should have done last week. So I showed them The Sure Thing. I don't know whether I told you I was going to do that last week, and I wasn't positive I was going to do it. So I did it. And
They loved it. I was so happy when I left. You know, sometimes I leave and I'm like last week, I'm like, what did I do? I shouldn't have done that. It was a mistake. And this time I left so happy because they loved it. This little movie from 1985, they loved it. I explained to them it's Rob Reiner's second film after Spinal Tap, and this guy went on to absolute greatness and did different things, A Few Good Men and Misery and The Princess Bride. And this is his second film, and I'm showing it to you because we're talking about these teenage sex comedies, which we're not going to be talking about as the 80s progress, but that's you know, had a holdover in the early 80s, and we're talking about movies like Hot Dog the Movie and Hard Bodies and all that crap, and here we are with this movie that's unfortunately titled The Sure Thing, which is why people didn't find it as much, because they're like, well, I can't sit through another teenage sex comedy, and it is so not like that. I hadn't seen it in 30 years. It totally holds up in its in the soundtrack alone, but it's Tim Robbins' first film. John Cusack's amazing in it. Daphne Zuniga's really cute. And the teacher, the professor in it, I think about her all the time when I'm teaching because she's really good. And the ending, I cannot tell you how happy I was that the class liked it. The ending, I was explaining the shots and the direction and how competent of a movie this is to come out in a world of shit in the 80s for a movie like this to rise above, and they all agreed. And remember, I've shown them movies where they just did not care for it. They didn't like Notting Hill. They didn't really love Arthur. And they really all liked this movie. And they're like one of the kids like, I don't like romantic comedies. I really enjoyed this one. And I think John Cusack has a lot to do with that. He made it good for dudes. This is a really good romantic comedy that people should take a lesson, because John Cusack is so, not manly in it, but boyish manly in his sense that he's just trying to party, wants to party, and he's trying to teach this girl how to have fun, and therein lies a good film. And then they were dying at the Boyd Gaines part, that guy who's a Tony winner who ended up marrying Barbara Cooper on One Day at a Time, plays Daphne Zuniga's boyfriend. I forgot how fucking funny he is. And they loved it. They loved the yuppie that it was her boyfriend who was just like, she's like, let's do something fun. Let's go to Disneyland. And he's like, you know what would be fun? What if I give you 50 points to start with gin rummy? That'll make things interesting. He's like, how about a big mug of tea? Well, we could do Earl Grey, but that's more of a study tea. Those scenes where he just comes in, it's absolutely brilliant. The guy's a goddamn Tony winner. I love it. And I'm so happy the kids loves it too. And again, if you haven't seen The Sure Thing, or if you don't remember it, just watch the goddamn ending. What a great end scene for a movie called The Sure Thing. Nicola Sheridan plays The Sure Thing, who, of course, goes on to Desperate Housewives. She's brilliant. And Anthony Edwards is brilliant of it. Think about it, what a good actor this guy is. And we obviously know that because he's been around forever. He's ER and everything. But he's very good because, remember, he's in Revenge of the Nerds. He's playing a nerd. And this time he's playing the exact opposite. He's playing one of, like, the alpha beta guys. He's the party animal. So that's super fun when he could do that. And, yeah, what is that, 40 goddamn years ago? 40 years ago, held up. Couldn't have made me happier. I was thrilled. So that was kind of great. I did end up buying a new computer. I just didn't set it. I'm going to set it up right now, and it's got 16 gigabytes of RAM, so I had to borrow one of my students again. But then my nephew was like, oh, Uncle David, I love your representation on your computer, because she has all stickers over it. I'm like, yeah, I just want to get, like, one thing, like, just concentrate on Marvin the Martian, you know? Yeah, I'm just doing lines from Clueless, but yeah, so I got a brand new computer. I think I am going to put stickers on it. Like, why am I not putting stickers on? I got to put stickers on my work computer, because that's hilarious. When I give it back, it'll be so funny to just have pictures of Marvin the Martian on it, or Hong Kong Phooey. I got to do that. I got to do it. Let's do it. And of course, oh, my favorite scene, I told them in The Sure Thing, I play this on the podcast sometimes. I can get a copy, but now I have a copy so I can play it. When they shift and the guy just yells out the window, it's Friday night! And he puts his speaker out there. Boop, boop, boop. It's Friday night! It's a great transitional scene to see, like, I wonder what night it is. Oh, it's Friday night. And I wonder if they liked it because, number one, it's college in the 80s where everybody's drinking and having a good time, and I wonder if they enjoyed that aspect of it. Like, our college sucks, and this isn't fun, and, you know, the kind of party that it was, and certainly my college was like that for sure.
I know what you need. What? A good hot mug of tea. Restores both body and spirit. Now let's see what we have this week. Let's see, we've got some Darjeeling. English breakfast. Now it's really more of a studying tea, isn't it? Yes. Let's see, Lapsang Souchong for those rainy mornings. Earl Grey. Remember that camping trip to Vermont? Ah, of course. China Black. How about it, Allison? How about a good hot mug of China Black?
Do you have any beer?
I'll tell you, this is what happened yesterday. Wednesday night, my friend Chris Regan, who writes for Family Guy, I told you I was going to this party. He came to town and he put out an email for everybody saying, hang with Chris. And he just got a back place in this place, Grace's, on 14th between 8th and 9th, I think. And he got a back room. And he just invited, I didn't know who he invited, but I figured it was going to be people from college and people from comedy in the 90s. And that's exactly what it was. It was beautiful. And I decided to invite my friend Rachel Lenahan, who you remember from the show. And remember, I was screaming about how I couldn't be friends with her anymore unless she tells me why she had that other horrible girl with her on the show that we had to sit through 30 minutes of this twat. And then, you know, why she was friends. And so I've been just grilling her with this, saying, I just don't understand why you're not going up the ladder with friends. Like, why aren't you having this moment in your stand-up comedy life with these people and going out and drinking after and having a good time? Now, I know it's just not like that anymore, and I get that, but it's just that there's something heavily missing, and obviously I must be wrong, but she gets it, and she's upset that she doesn't have that. And I know it's true because she takes the class with Richard Klein, and he's old and I'm old, and she wants that. So I said, why don't you come to this party with me? I'll show you. I'm not trying to shove in your face what you've missed or what you're missing, because you can still have this, but how this generation is a disaster in the sense of personal relationships. So she came. And I went, and it was fantastic. She came late, so it was great because I got to see everybody first, people from college. My friend Suzanne Fagel, oh my God, I was so happy to see her. Remember, we had her old boyfriend died recently, and he was friends of me and Chris, and we used to work together on the Caroline's Comedy Hour. He's a great guy. He just died, and she was real shook up, and I had written her, and she didn't write back. She goes, I'm so sorry I didn't write back. A lot of people emailed me, and I just didn't. But it was so great to see her. And J.R. Havlin was there. A lot of writers from The Daily Show were there. Plus, the professor that's in charge of me, this guy, he was there. I was so happy to see him. I'm like, wait a minute. You told me you couldn't meet tomorrow because you were busy. He goes, well, this is what I was doing. And I'm like, what the fuck? But it was great because I love him. And he just kept telling me, this is my employee because he's my boss. And it's awesome. And I love him. And I love that he was there because we always say we have mutual friends, but I didn't think it was for real. So yeah, I guess he used to be a writer on The Daily Show. It's a lot of Daily Show writers that were there. And obviously, there's no doubt. They all used to write when Jon Stewart was there, and then I guess he didn't ask them to come back. How rude. I think they've moved on, and they don't care. But anyway, it was really fun, and it was so great to see everybody, and I got some photos. And then she came in, and I was trying to explain it to her, and it was really fun, and she really enjoyed it. And, you know, they were all like, we did comedy, and Chris was like, what do you mean? You don't have friends you go and get obliterated with? I don't understand. But this younger generation, they don't do that. And I told you, I think Sam Morrell is the cutoff. And after that, people just don't have relationships anymore. So I went into class yesterday, kind of guns blazing, and saying, look, I'm just going to tell you this before we start the movie. I'm upset with this generation. And yeah, I obviously, I'm talking as an older person. I get that. But I'm worried. I just went to this party last night for people that have gotten together. We all did comedy in the 90s, and there were people from college, and I'm worried that you guys don't have any friends. And then they got angry, and then like one girl's like, well, that's why I came to college, and now I have plenty of friends. But then they realized, kind of as I was talking, they settled down, and they realized it was kind of true. Not everybody doesn't have any friends, but I've seen it in comedy, and I've seen it with my nephew. And I've seen it with these people, and I was talking to, I think I was talking to Marcy about it. Like, it's happening in Kentucky. Her daughter's 21. They have very limited friends, and just they don't have a lot of personal contact. Now, we know this. So I said, this is an important thing. I always tell them, the reason I have this job is because the guy I met in 1983 found this for me. Your personal contacts, the people you meet along the way, the people you meet in college, you don't know who the person's going to be. I understand. Now, I may be completely wrong because maybe Instagram and social media is going to get you where you need to be. But I'm worried because there really is nothing better than personal contact and being with people and people you miss and you love and you can't wait to see it 30 years from now and tell stories. You guys aren't going to have any stories. And I tell them this all the time. I'm like, you're writers. Are you, some of you going to be writers? Where are you going to get your stories from? You don't have any personal contact. Your stories are all going to be AI written? And that's a thing? And yeah, is it coming off as an old man? Yes, maybe. But when I finished, they clapped. Because I guess they knew it was completely heartfelt and I was just looking out for the best. I'm like, I'm telling you this as a teacher because my job is to educate you into the next level of your life and you know, explain things, how things might work or what to do when you get out there. Why do you go to college? You want to college because you need not just stupid film knowledge, but you want knowledge of everything. You want as much knowledge as you can get. Even whether it's social interaction and partying, which was the most important thing for me in college, along with some form of education to prepare you, because that's what I've always said. There's no way I could join the Army at 18. I wasn't ready to do anything at 18. But 21, after 4 years of college and interactions and learning, I was ready to face the world. Kind of, right? I mean, 21 is still very young. But yeah, you need a buffer in between just going out. Some people can handle it. I wasn't one of those people. I needed to party, like for real. Like not just, I needed to be a person and get involved. And that's why you watch The Sure Thing. The professor in The Sure Thing says, you've got to learn to live life and experience life. It was amazing. I'd forgotten about that. She goes, make love in a hammock. Go, you know, whatever she says, it's exactly correct, even 40 years later, even with social media and all these interactions that are impersonal interactions people are having. And listen, it's not anybody's fault besides social media. COVID was no help for these poor kids. I can't stop thinking about it. And it's just funny, when I was there on Wednesday, I couldn't stop talking about it. So I think they took what I said to heart, because like I said, they clapped, and I'm like, you don't have to clap. But I guess that must have been, came out of somewhere that they would clap. I've never heard of a lot of professors getting an applause break. After I told you I got one after my 80s lecture, I was very happy. I assume it just came from a place where they just felt like doing it. I didn't ask them to do it. I didn't egg them on or anything. And I'm only telling you because maybe I got through to a couple of them. And how important having personal relationships is. And again, I also told them, I may not know what I'm talking about. Maybe personal relationships are just over on this planet. I don't know. I'm only telling you how much they mean to me. That's the best I can do, right? So it's funny that on one day I go to this thing, and I guess if I can give my experience to the class, then no matter what I'm teaching, because I've never seen a math teacher do it, I think they appreciate the honesty. I think if I had a teacher like the things I was doing in class, like something very personal like that, I think I would have liked that very much. I think that could have been very life-changing if somebody was very honest, especially an older person. Something being very honest about life. And, you know, when I was saying, you know, I mean, look, I started with Sarah Silverman and David Tell and Louis C.K. and Mark Maron. And I'm like, well, sure, I didn't make it, but these guys, you know. So, I mean, I think they appreciate the honesty. So, I mean, according to them, I did make it. I got I'm friends with Paul Rudd. I'm friends with Amy Heckling. I'm friends with the guy that wrote Back to the Future. As far as they're concerned, they don't know who I hang out with or don't hang out with. So it seems really legitimate. So anyway, I was very happy after class, and that's why I was extremely happy to go back to that yard house, which I just found out they have yard, half a yard, you know, what do you call them? Not mugs, but, you know, those yard stick things you can drink beer out of. I'm like, oh, man, next time I'm doing that. I just want to go there every time now. I love that place. That place just so rules.
Mr. Gibson.
Yes, what?
Well, I know what an important part voyeurism plays in your daily life, but do you mind if I take up a moment of your time?
Sure.
Good. See, I want to tell you that I really enjoyed your paper.
You did?
Yeah. I don't remember the last time that I have seen this much detail expressed on how to eat pizza without burning the roof of your mouth. Unfortunately, whatever whimsical qualities that your paper evokes are obscured in a morass of marginal grammar, creative spelling, and, as I believe, sausage stain.
Pepperoni.
Clean it up, Gibson. Miss Bradbury, now you, on the other hand, you express your ideas very clearly.
Thank you.
Except that your paper is, well, it's dry. There's not enough of you coming through. Loosen up, Alison. Have some fun. Yes, sleep when you feel like it, not when you think you should. Eat food that is bad for you at least once in a while. Have conversations with people whose clothes are not color coordinated. Make love in a hammock. Yeah. Life is the ultimate experience. Now you have to experience it in order to write about it.
On Wednesday, before I went to that party, I think I actually ate something bad at work. I had a steak sandwich, and I think the steak was undercooked because I had definite diarrhea. Like, not diarrhea. Like, first it was, I was on the train, and I'm like, no, I think I can make it. But it wasn't like diarrhea yet. That's so stupid. It's just that I always walk through Bloomingdale's after I get off the subway. And my friend Alina was there. She goes, hey, I'm in your neighborhood. I'm in Bloomingdale's. I'm like, I'm in Bloomingdale's. And I said, well, I'll come find you. But I'm like, hey, this is a bad time for me. I really got to get home. But it was funny because I was acting. When I saw her, I didn't tell her about any of this. And I pretended that everything was fine because I guess I knew I was going home, so it wasn't a problem. But it was fun to act as if everything was completely fine with my stomach. I could have told her, but I didn't want to talk about it because I was afraid if I talked about it, I would think about it. And I went dress shopping with her, or jean shopping, for a little bit. It was really funny. And then she was buying these jeans, and she's talking to the lady, do you think there's a fit, whatever. I'm like, and then she wrote me back, and I completely had forgotten. She goes, hey, they fit perfectly. I'm like, what are we talking about again? Like, and then she sent me a picture. I'll show it to you. They did look really good. It was a good outfit. She sent it to her daughter to make sure it was. She's like, is this cool? And she goes, oh, yeah, that's totally in right now. So smart, but it's fun shopping in Bloomingdale's, but it was really fun. Oh, so that's what I want to tell you about this Grace's place. So I felt better finally because I really had something was bad. Like, I think I had a bug, but I got rid of it just in time. But I ended up getting to the bar late because I, sometimes you're on the, I'm like, well, I can't go anywhere because normally, I think if I was a regular person, I'd be throwing up. I think something was wrong. But I guess it wasn't that bad because I did go out and drink after, like it was, and my stomach never bothered me again. So whatever it was, I guess I got it out of my system, and then I was able to go to this bar and drink. So they had the back bar, and first I asked for a Johnny Walker Black. They didn't have, we don't have that. I'm like, whatever. All right, can I get a beer and a shot? Let's do this. And I was ready to party. I had what was the beer I had? Was it it wasn't a bottle. It was I don't remember, but it was pretty good. And a shot of Jameson, $28. A mug of beer, or a pint of beer, and a shot of Jameson, $28. That's not right, right? Because technically, both of those things should be about $8. That should have been $16. How was it $28? I couldn't believe it. That's expensive, right? And I don't know whether they were overcharging because Chris had to get a limit of drinks and stuff. It was really annoying. $28. I was furious. I hated that stupid room. So I got there around, it started at 7. I think I got there at 8:30. Because I really assumed it was 1995 again and we were going to be there all night. The place closed down. He goes, hey, it's last call. And I'm like, ah. I thought the guy for sure was kidding. I'm like, yeah, no, let me get it. I'm like, he's like, no, it's like, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? It was 9 o'clock. He's like, well, we got live music coming. And I'm like, why would he get a room that's closing at 9? But I guess as it turns out, I guess I'm the last person left that wants to hang out and keep drinking. What the fuck? For real? And I think I was the oldest one there. Everybody's about 5 years younger. I don't understand. I just wanted to keep drinking. So I got more, and then I got another one at the bar afterwards. And the live music that came in was all these fiddlers sitting at one of the tables just playing. There was no reason it had to close. They just had a bunch of... I think I took a picture. Yeah, I definitely took a picture. So you'll see. They're just sitting at a table playing. It's not like it ruined everything. It was just... What a stupid place. What a stupid place. But I let it go because I was having a good time. And I really wanted to hang out longer. And Chris was like, yeah, I'll see you guys later. And I'm like, "What? Wait, for real? This is it? I mean, I know I came late, but I just assumed it was going until midnight or 2 in the morning. I guess things have changed. I don't know. I was totally ready to party. I went home. Oh, no, I didn't get to take a nap. That's right. I was planning on taking a nap, but I ended up going to Bloomingdale, so I didn't take a nap. Or did I take? Nah, I don't think I did. But I was ready and I was wide awake and I don't know what happened. And then I took the train home with my friends Peggy O'Brien and Steve Rosenthal, who I hadn't seen in years. And it was great to see them. And I took, I remember the E train wasn't running, so that was a pain in the ass. So I took the A train with them and transferred at Times Square. No, I took it to Times Square. That's exactly what it was. And transferred to, I was going to get the N or the R, but I transferred to the Q train. And I remember that went to 63rd and Lex. And then I was walking because it was freezing. Because normally I would have walked home. It was a nice day. I definitely would have walked home, but it was just too cold. And that was it was late. It was after midnight. So I was a little nervous. Then you go up this elevator and there's a guy in the elevator with you. And at that hour, it's just so creepy. I took a picture of that too, just the creepy elevators. I think I've taken it before. You're so down in the bowels of this place. And this is a brand new subway station, but everything's been so bad in the subways lately. You just start to panic about everything. But it was a really good time. I just can't believe everybody just went home early. But I guess I should have been grateful because my cleaning was coming. And not that I had to go to Rhoda's that day because it was my off day. Because remember, I'm going to be going there 3 weeks in a row to teach that class. With Beth just told me her and my friend Mitch are coming. They're like, oh, we're going. And I'm like, no, don't go. I'm embarrassed. Oh, it'll be perfect.
So what's in California?
Girl.
What's wrong with her?
She's got a boyfriend.
So bad.
Yeah.
So what's she like?
Who?
Your girlfriend.
I don't know. I never met her.
You never met her?
Uh-uh.
Wait a minute. You're going across the country to see a girl you never met?
Yeah, we'll see. My best friend Lance set it up. She's supposed to be a sure thing.
A sure thing?
Yeah.
A sure thing?
Mm-hmm.
A sure thing, no questions asked, no strings attached.
No guilt involved.
A sure thing.
Yeah.
My whole life I never had a sure thing.
Probably never meet her anyway. I mean, she's gonna be gone in 24 hours.
Look, kid, you pay for the traffic tickets, I'll get you in the saddle.
Yeah?
Yeah. Move!
So, I want to tell you one last thing before we go. I was reading the post. I went to the, my cleaning name's here, so I went to the diner yesterday. Oh my God, I went to the diner. Are you ready? So I got the Eggs Benedict. I don't know. Normally get like the short stack. The Egg Benedict, I think it was $22. The orange juice was $8, small orange juice. And a side of bacon was $11. I think my bill was like $60. Whatever it was, the bill was $60 with a tip for a diner by myself. It's getting out of hand. Meanwhile, I buy that lottery car once a week. I ended up winning $500. So I sent my nieces $50 because that's what my Aunt Judy would have done. And I told them I won at the track because that's my grandmother used to do it too. I'm like, all right, you know what? I said, because that's what an uncle's supposed to do. I didn't send Dory anything. Then my sister's like, why aren't you sending Dory anything? You didn't send anything to Dory. I'm like, why would I send an orthodontist $50? This is like Aunt Judy when she sends David Blitzer, who owns the Devils, $50 for his birthday. I'm like, I don't want to be like that. It's ridiculous. She goes, no, Dory doesn't have any money right now because she's still a resident. I'm like, oh, crap. So there goes my payload. But yeah, it was exciting. So I went, and so I was at the diner, I was reading the post, and there was this awesome article in there, which I have been talking about for years and centuries, which I even told Dara, Gilbert Gottfried's widow, about the other day. Is they say, secret to hot sex is unlocked. Lock in quotes. It's all about good hair. The saying that women that have longer hair are having really good sex because, well, let's see. I mean, it's what I've been talking about all the time. Girls with short hair are just stupid and they look dumb. I love long hair. Everybody knows this. And if you have short hair, you're just stupid. And now, apparently, according to a study, you're also missing out. And again, women with longer, higher quality hair have hotter, busier sex lives, according to researchers in South Korea. Well, you know, that's some good research there in South Korea. Their study, published last month in the academic journal Evolutionary Psychology, set out to determine if women's hair has any connection to the frequency of sex in married couples. It asked 204 heterosexual married couples from South Korea in their 30s to rate various factors, including their own hair length, hair, blah, 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 blah. The results, men are horny for hair. I've been saying this for years. Women with longer, healthier locks were deemed hotter by their husbands and were having more sex as a result. I believe I've mentioned this since the 90s when all my friends were trying to get married. I said, most women grow their hair long while they're looking for a mate. So they know this. And as soon as they get married, they chop it off. It's so mean. I saw that 100 times. You're going to get married and find a man if you have longer hair. And then they chop it off because, oh, it's annoying. In addition, wives with higher quality hair were more satisfied with their marriages, the study found. The academics noted that some of the most feminine figures in art were blessed with cascades of tumbling tresses, including Rapunzel and Venus from Botticelli's The Birth of Venus. Such depictions of women with long, silky hair create an image of womanliness, which may be alluring to the perceiver, owing to the intricate sense of femininity displayed. The image of an ideal woman often involves her having long, silky hair, they continued. And here's the best part, of course. After calculating the survey results, the researchers found that men found women with longer hair to be more attractive, which consequently resulted in heightened sexual desire among men. This heightened sexual desire was again associated with a higher likelihood of more frequent sexual intercourse within the couples. Meanwhile, the women involved in the study were also asked questions about their husband's hair. While it may be assumed that men with thick hair similarly send evolutionary messages about attractiveness and fertility, the results revealed that there was no correlation between a man's mane and his sex life. Good news for all of us, as they say, balding blokes. And it's just so funny. Of course, it is a man's world. We already know that. But I have been saying that for years. God damn it, everybody knows I like long hair. And what do I always say? I just say, like, because look, I can't grow mine, so you grow yours. I find it incredibly attractive. If somebody has amazing hair and amazing smelling hair, is even more of an aphrodisiac, I think. So when your hair is short, you're just dumb. That's right. Yeah, I'm saying it. You can put out on the thing, these views do not represent the views of the chat room. Well, I don't care. Yes, these are my views, and I've been saying it for 30 years. If you want to rope a man, you grow your hair long, you make it beautiful, and then when you get married, you feel free to chop it off, but it's a dick move. So how about that? Thank you for proving my theory, my South Korean friends. You know what? I think if the North Koreans proved it, it would be just as effective. I don't think any. Then isn't that how we can all get along? And North Korea says, you know, I feel similar about long hair. You do? Well, let's stop this thing. What are we doing? What are we doing? We all agree that women are much hotter with long hair. Everybody was angry when Sigourney Weaver cut off her hair in Alien 3. Come on. Persis Kambada? What the hell is that all about? And she was so how hot, right? This is the girl in Star Trek, the movie from 1979. She's dead. And she was hot as a bald chick, but we still were like, eh. But she was that hot because she was wearing ridiculously outfits in the movie. But then when I saw a picture of her with long hair, oh my God, she was so hot when she grew her hair back. Or whether, no, it couldn't have been a wig. I think she, I don't know whether she should. Well, we got to look. Anyway, she's dead. I think she was an Indian too, like East Indian. But she died, like really not young, but I don't know. Because you always wonder what happened, because she's so sexy. It's too bad that movie sucks. So ladies, I'm just saying, you keep that hair going, because it's all right. You know, I think my sister's letting her hair go gray. I'm furious. I'm furious. They didn't say anything about gray. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know, I always thought my sister looks okay for her age, but this graying thing, and then she got real mad at that too. I'm like, I don't like it. I don't care what you like. Ugh. I don't know. Isn't that mean to do your husband? Because then your husband's like, why am I sleeping with a 60-year-old woman? Well, you're not thinking of if her hair's, you know, regular. And it's like, well, it's a pain to dye it. I'm like, yeah, I get it. And of course, you know, I let my hair go gray, but this is what guys do. Again, it's a man's world. We know this. I know you're trying to change it, but I guess it never will. I mean, the fact that Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated for Best Director just shows you, I guess it ain't going to work. We're trying. I mean, the whole basis of my class was to show how amazing this female director is who wrote Clueless and directed Fast Times. So I'm all in. I don't know. I really enjoyed Barbie. I enjoyed the message. But I like the long hair. So what are you going to do? Anywho, that's our show for this week. I hope you enjoy these messages that I'm putting out today. One is like, oh, that's nice. And then the other one's like, what an asshole. But that is Just Count the City, is it not? It's the best podcast ever. So we're going to see you as the calendar turns to April next week on another exciting episode of Just Count the City. Good night, everybody.